So have you ever asked yourself the questions, why is life unfair? Why doesn't God seem fair? Well, and sometimes God doesn't seem fair. The prophet Habakkuk felt the same way. He had the same questions that you and I have. And there's many things that go on in life where we shake our heads and we think to ourselves that things don't make sense. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Habakkuk chapter 1. One to four. It said, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. First of all, we have to see that Habakkuk, his first prayer was to God. And we have to remember that this time, God's chosen people, the Israelites, they've turned away from God, and they were doing ungodly things. And Habakkuk, he was a godly man, and he saw all the things that were going on. And he saw how God's people were doing things that were not pleasing to him. And we see the one thing that he did, and that was that he went out and he called upon God in prayer. Now when you look at the book of Habakkuk, we need to understand that the reason he was calling out to God was because of the sin that was going on among the people. It was something that he could not see go on and on and on. He knew the kingdom of Judah was rapidly deteriorating ever since the death of King Josiah. And now his son, Jehoiakim, was king. He had been leading the nation closer to disaster, according to Jeremiah 22. But there were also problems in the life of the Israelites. And Habakkuk saw all of this, and he was troubled and was weighing on his mind. And the reason there were all these problems is because there's an active adversary, Satan, who's desiring to tempt us to sin. And Satan's desire is to weaken our faith, to cause us to doubt God, or to doubt God's love, or to doubt that God even cares. And we know that sin is everywhere. You know, when you look around in the world today, it looks like the world's a mess. There's war, there's famine, there's diseases. There's sorrow and there's death. There's constant problems around in the world. Sin started already from the beginning, Genesis 3, and it's going to continue to be a problem until Jesus Christ returns. But so we have this man here. He's a godly man. He's looking at God's people, how they've turned and committed sins of idolatry and violence and corruption, and things were just getting worse and worse. And basically what he's saying to God is, God, I can't figure out why this is going on. If you say you are who you are. And Habakkuk knew something had to be done because he didn't want us to see his people suffer and reject God. So he turned out and he cried out to God. Why? Why are you doing this? And he says, how long must I call for help? It tells me that Habakkuk has been praying for some time and God isn't answering Habakkuk's cry. At least not the way that he thought that he should answer. In verse 2, we can see how Habakkuk is feeling. He's angry, he's sad, he's alone. Because the God that he believed in was not answering him. And the time that he was going through was difficult and it was dangerous. And he uses words like violence and iniquity and grievance, strife and contention and injustice. And Habakkuk, he prayed that God would do something about the violence and the injustice. The injustice that was in the land, and yet God didn't seem to hear him. He cried out to God for help. He cried out with a disturbed heart. And as he prayed about the wickedness in the land, he became more and more burdened on why God seemed so uncaring. You know, in Habakkuk, he was seeing oppression and violence right in front of him. It was all going on, and he was watching this. Strife was going on and conflict was getting worse and worse. And he was asking, why do I need to look at this injustice? He was asking, why do I need to tolerate this wrongdoing? And Habakkuk's prayer is saying, God, they're in a mess. I've been asking you and crying out to you to change it. And how long do I need to cry out to you and you will not hear? Sometimes it seems like it is the same way in our own life. We cry out to God and ask for help and it seems like he doesn't hear us. And we think to ourselves, I don't think you know the situation that I'm in. And we go through all kinds of difficulties in life. Broken marriages. Envy in the heart. Looking at what others have and what they're doing and never content where we're at. Bitterness. People having trouble forgiving others. Now some of you may be thinking here this morning that we go through life and nothing seems to go my way and in our own eyes it seems like it's always the hard way. Maybe you're a parent here this morning and your children or your family members are not living for the Lord. And it feels like you've prayed for years and years and no sign of change. Maybe you're sick and you're going through health ailments. And it's never anyone else, it's only you. Now these are the things that people go through. These are the things that people struggle with. And many times we ask the question, where are you, God? Where are you? We get angry. We're not happy. We feel alone. And yet God always answers in one way or another. And sometimes I believe we need to be asking ourselves, are we listening for Him? Now we're quick to send prayers to Him, but do we wait for Him? Verse 3 says there's iniquity, there's violence. There are those who raise up strife and contention, constantly stirring up trouble. Out of all the things that were going on, it makes you wonder if it was because of what it says in verse 4. Therefore the law is slack and there is no justice fairly and honestly. You know, the law wasn't dealing fairly and honestly with people. It seems like it's the same today. Many, if not most of us, are asking the same questions. God, why are you letting all of this happen? So when you look at the situation and we know that it was not very good, what does God say to Habakkuk in verse 5? It says, behold, ye among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. The Lord replies and he says to Habakkuk, behold, among the nations and observe. He's telling him to watch. He says, look among the nations and see and be utterly amazed. And God doesn't say, I'm going to answer your prayer and everything's going to be roses. No, he says, marvel and be astonished. For I'm going to do a work in your days which you're not going to believe, even though it was told to you. And not only will I deliver you, it's going to get worse than it is now. And God intends to raise an utterly pagan or a godless people to come and destroy Judah. Yeah, it was an answer that shocks Habakkuk. You know, and I think Habakkuk was thinking, you know what? What these people need is they need a revival. They need God. They need to turn to God, and once they do that, everything should be good. But it's not always that easy. When you think of an athlete, they don't just become good by not practicing. They discipline themselves and practice for hours and hours and hours. And it's something that nobody sees. And those are not the easy times. They go through difficult times. Now, many times we think like Habakkuk did, right? We pray to God to help them that they may see. In our own lives, we pray, Lord, protect me. Lord, keep me safe as I go over there. Lord, bless our family and watch over us. That's the way we pray, right? And we know that suffering precedes glory. Trials produce patience. And yet, how many of us have asked God to make you suffer? or prayed, Lord, make me go through these trials. Have you prayed like that? I haven't. I don't know if you do, but I'm afraid to. Sometimes we think we know how God should answer, but He doesn't always answer the way we think He should. The Lord says, I will raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter, that hasty nation. And they're going to march through the breadth of the land, and they're going to take possessions of the dwelling places that are not even theirs. You know, Habakkuk, he must have just been beside himself. How would you like an answer that God gave to him? You know, put yourself in Habakkuk's shoes for a moment. How would you feel? This man was looking for help from God. And God told him that he was going to raise up these Chaldeans and that they must have really, really hurt what God had told him. Because they were better known as the Babylonians, and they were just going to run over and take over these godless people. They were godless. They were ruthless. They were brash. They were thoughtless. They weren't afraid of anyone. And this meant they were going to be taken into captivity, or even worse, they were going to be killed. And as we think about this, Habakkuk was a godly man. And now he was going to be taken by these Babylonians. That doesn't seem fair. And their only purpose was to promote themselves and conquer and enslave other people. Verse 8, their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence, their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand, and they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them, and they shall deride every strong nation, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this, his power, unto his God. What we see here is that the Lord, He uses a number of pictures from nature to describe the Babylonians and how they treated people. It was like horses, that they had speed of leopards and the viciousness of wolves. And their troops, they would swoop down on their prey like vultures. And their army swept across the desert like the wind and gathered and deported prisoners the way a man digs sand and ships it to a foreign land. And he's thinking, can anybody stop this? God could stop it, but he was the one who was allowing this. Now, the Babylonians, they had no respect of authority, whether kings or generals. They laughed at the gates and the walls as they built their siege ramps and captured these fortified cities. And and they totally depended on their own strength. But the Lord was planning to chasten Judah, allowing the Babylonians to invade the land and take them into exile. But this wasn't the answer that Habakkuk was looking for. He was hoping that God would send a revival, that he would judge the evil leaders and establish righteousness in the land. And then the nation would escape punishment and the people and the cities would be spared. Yet God had warned his people time and time again, but they wouldn't listen. Prophet after prophet had declared the word, only to be rejected. According to 2 Chronicles 36. And he had sent natural calamities, like droughts and plagues, and various military defeats. And yet the people didn't listen. And instead of repenting, it says that they hardened their hearts. And even more of them turned to the gods of the nations that were around them. Verse 12. Art thou not the everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them from judgment. And, O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art pure eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Therefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth a man that is more righteous than he, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, and the creeping things that have no rule over them. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? I believe you and I have ask God many questions. Why do you do that? Why do you allow that? Or why don't you just intervene? When Habakkuk really started to ask these questions in the last part of this chapter. The pain that he was going through must have been extreme. It was like this man's life had been ripped apart and was only going to get worse from here. And it was like he was shocked by what God was doing. And how can God use one bad nation to punish these people? Not very often in life we feel that we need answers to the questions in our lives. Sometimes we have this mindset that they're owed to us. Just like any other person, Habakkuk, he answered or asked more questions to God. He was trying to understand God. And he was asking God these questions because he loved God and he wanted to know more of him. And as far as Habakkuk was concerned, God's first answer hadn't been an answer at all. In fact, it only seemed to create a new problem, which was even more puzzling. How could God use a wicked nation to punish these people? Let the prophet focus on the character of God, as Jonah had done when he disagreed with what God was doing. You and I have to remember there's a difference between doubt and unbelief. Like Habakkuk, the doubter questions God and may even debate with God, but the doubter doesn't abandon God. Unbelief is a rebellion against God, a refusal to accept what he says and does. And unbelief is an act of the will, while doubt is born out of troubled mind and a broken heart. No, we ask these things because we want to understand what goes on in life. Why do things happen the way they do? Why do people do the things that they do? And yet some people will tell you that it is wrong to question God. But if we're wanting to understand God, we need to ask questions. And the thing that matters is, how do we respond? How did Habakkuk respond? He continued to ask God more questions. In verse 14, why do you make men like fish in the sea? Like sea creatures that have no ruler? Only to be hooked, or sea creatures to be trapped. And how could God allow his weak people to be invaded by such a heartless and a ruthless nation? And he continues on and says that the enemy pulls them up with hooks and catches them with nets. Well, these were the ways that the enemy conquered the nations, which resulted in increased riches and revenues. You know, they had plenty of everything that was desirable for food and raiment, for pleasure and profit. Well, they had everything that the heart could wish for and desire. And the enemy was rejoicing through all of this. And Habakkuk then says to God, are you going to keep allowing them to destroy nations without any mercy? Habakkuk can't understand this. And when people can't understand God, they get frustrated. They get tired of waiting on him. And some even turn on him. There are times it is hard to understand God's way and his will. And many times we see people trying to fit God into their own ideas and into their own way of thinking. And we hear them saying, putting God into our box. We can't put God into a box. We have to get into God's box and live by his will and his ways. And if we step out of his box, then how can we live or do the will of God? Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, that my ways are not your ways, nor are my thoughts your thoughts. God has a plan for everything. Habakkuk could not understand God's plans. And sometimes we question his plan as well. But we need to follow it and know that God will never leave us and he's always going to be with us. So I ask, where are you today? Are you in God's box? And have you given your life over to His plan? Maybe God is trying to get your attention, allowing things to happen for a purpose, so we're drawn closer to Him. You know, despite all things that happen around us, may our focus still be on Him. May we totally trust in our all-knowing and wise God, even though we don't understand all things. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, sometimes we're like Habakkuk. We ask, why, Lord? Father, we ask questions that we don't understand. Why you do the things that you do. Why you allow the things that you allow. Father, we pray that, as your word says, that we're to trust and obey you in all things. To continually seek you. And to follow your ways. Father, we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Father, we pray that you would just continue to strengthen us, to help us. Even though we don't understand, Lord, that you would still give us that peace that comes from knowing you. Father, we thank you that you're in control of all things. And all the things that you do and all the things that you allow are for a reason. And many times we look back and we see the things that you have done that we questioned, and later we understand. Father, we pray that your word again would have just given us an understanding of who you are and why you do what you do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to thank you for coming. May the word of God be an inspiration to each one of you. Let us bow for the benediction. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord. Amen.